Good morning. It's an honor and a privilege to stand before you on today. I am grateful for this congregation, this fellowship that continues to do the tough work of racial justice and building community. I am especially grateful for someone who I can call a friend who has been an amazing supporter and cheerleader and encourager, if you will, Reverend Lydia. I have watched her move in some amazing circles as we continue to do racial justice work in the community with Together Colorado and with the Moral Document and just other initiatives. And she's always there, always present, always using her silent but powerful presence to make a statement against the ills of the world. So I am forever grateful not only for the relationship that we have built over the years, but the opportunity to come in this moment of proclamation, a moment where we will share together on today. And I want to make a few other comments before we begin to Shriver. I remember when he first hugged me when I was coming through the door, it didn't click initially, and it should have with the cowboy hat. Also, another one who continues to be present and continues to do the work of civil rights and justice from back in the 60s up through now. So I use the term namaste, which means the divine in me honors the divine in you. Thank you for what you do. And as we talk about dignity, that's what dignity is about, right? It's not about knowing that I'm all that and then some. It's being able to acknowledge that in the other person as well. So it's a both and, it's a give and take when we talk about dignity. And the one thing, the last thing I will say is that walking into the doors of this fellowship, there are times as a preacher, you just never know what you're walking into. Reverend Dawn and I do this racial justice work quite often, and we go into white congregations and spaces and places, and we consider it a sacred space. It's not always safe because the conversation, if you will, is not always easy to have. It's not safe, but it's sacred. And when I walked into this place, I just felt the sacredness of this place. And I'm grateful. Continue doing what you're doing in this sin sick world. Continue to be a voice. Continue to be advocates, Bob. Continue to go out there and speak truth to power and do what you do, because we got to do this together. It's not about black folk doing it separately and white folk doing it over here. We got to come together to make this happen. So now that I got that off my chest, I normally open with the Psalm 34, which is an invitation for us in this moment of proclamation, an invitation to bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. Even in the midst of trying times, even in the midst of hurt, even in the midst of pain, I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, our soul makes our boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. And the invitation, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt God's name together. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Brian, thank you for reading the text for us this morning that comes from the Hebrew Bible, the book of Jeremiah, the prophet. And if I can build on that scripture by reading some contemporary words, because we know that God's word transcends space and time. So even though the prophet spoke way back when, those words are still relevant on today. So if we can think about Jeremiah 18 through 22 as I speak these words. Oh, that I could comfort myself against sorrow. My heart is faint within me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter and sons from the land that seems very far off, but is actually closer than we like to think. Is the universal creator in Zion, in Baltimore, in Chicago, in New York, in LA, even right here in Chicago? Why have they provoked me to anger as a black woman who has raised a daughter who made it to the age of 30, an age that Sandra Bland did not achieve. Raising a black man who lived to see 21, an age that Michael Brown did not make it to see. A mother, an activist, an educator whose knees hurt from the continuous prayers of my children, of all of God's children who fall victim to idols, graven images of hate, evil, power, and privilege. Beloved, the harvest is past. That's what the scripture says. And the summer is ended. And we are still not saved. Not saved from the ills of this world. A world where my black skin is considered a weapon or a threat. Where 1% has most of the wealth in this country. Where democracy has gone bananas. I could say bananas, right? I want to say something else, but... Where religious freedom is compromised, where this country is only 4.4% of the world's population, but houses 22% of the world's prisoners. And with that, this prison system has become big business and rather dehumanizing, so much so that we have to vote to remove the word slavery from the Colorado Constitution in the 2016 election. I hurt for the hurt of my sisters and brothers in the struggle. I mourn and I ask the question like the prophet, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Now in seminary, they always taught us when we do a title or theme or text to state this proclamation. To make a statement. And here I use this question, which is rhetorical. So for me, it is a statement reminding us that there is a balm in Gilead. This rhetorical question, we'll take a look, a deeper look at the text in Jeremiah. And according to commentary, the prophetic book of Jeremiah sears the soul, it stirs some things in us, it challenges the conscious, and it promises hope to a wounded body and spirit. A knowledge of human and theological disruption caused by the political, militant, and might I add, racist, evil, dehumanizing events of the time, and since God's word transcends space and time, this word made encouraging sense then, and I have to believe that it makes sense now. The book of Jeremiah may best be appreciated as a conversation among communal voices that explore. We're here to explore. We're here to attempt to come to grips with and move beyond a national tragedy that destroyed so much of this community's life. As God's word transcends space and time, we find the book of Jeremiah very appropriate today. The prophet Jeremiah is mourning for the people. Just as preachers and teachers and leaders of this day must mourn and yet find a way in the depths of their souls to keep us encouraged, strengthened, loving, and living in the midst of it all. Grief is upon the prophet and the current leaders who must move through grief to a process called healing so that we and those we serve might be healed. There is a paradox similar to what we are experiencing today. The world seems to be full of evil. We are gathered here today in hope, strength, love, resilience, and faith, believing that something has got to give. And believing comes with a level of intention, a level of consciousness, a level of knowledge, a level of deliberativeness, a level of purpose, a level of process. With this balm in Gilead, there must be a level of intention. Let's take a look at our bodies for a moment. You know, our bodies are inextricably bound with Mother Earth and the universe, and our bodies tell us a lot. So when we have a wound, not a scratch or a small cut, but a wound, and if we don't pay attention to it, if we don't intentionally heal this wound, it will cause an infection. So if we don't, if we let the wound just be without intention, it'll scab, but that scabbing will cause scarring and it might even cause further infection. It might seem to be healing, but it's not. Or if you cover up a wound and just ignore it, like the ills of the world, it'll then cause further infection. It will not heal properly. So there's this balance that must happen where we must intentionally be outward in the healing process and also cover up and protect when needed. Our bodies are telling us a lot when we talk about this balm in Gilead. Sometimes the scar might need a covering, a balm that'll allow the air, the healing air to happen, but also a covering that will protect it from the ills of the world. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "As my sufferings mounted, I soon realized there were two ways in which I could respond to my situation, intentionality. Either react with bitterness or seek to transform the suffering into a creative force." Last I checked, Martin Luther King chose the latter. The prophet Jeremiah here is crying out to God to respond differently to the ills of the world. Crying out, reminding us of the Hebrew text, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will hear the cries of the people and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." A level of intentionality. Rumi says that if you desire healing, let yourself fall ill. Healing is not an easy process. Healing, you will have to go through some pain and some transformation, but the end result is the healing. The prophet Jeremiah is teaching us to feel. When the prophet Jeremiah cries out, the people are looking like, "Well, aren't you a man of God? Are you supposed to be in despair? Are you supposed to hurt? Are you supposed to be worried?" Yes. Because these are feelings that God gave us to respond differently than the way the world is treating us. Romans, the New Testament scripture says, Romans 5:4 says, "Suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope." So if we can move from the hurt to the healing, knowing that we have to go through this process. Finally, the late Henry Nouwen, a priest, prophet and professor, said in his book, The Wounded Healer, "One of the main tasks of theology is to find words that do not divide but unite, that do not create conflict but unity, that do not hurt but heal. The prophet does not ignore the state of the world. It's not about walking through life, skipping through the tulips, asking like racism doesn't exist. But it's acknowledging the pain of the people, the idols, the graven images, the misdirected faith, and at the same time reminding us that in the midst of what's happening individually, in our homes and in our communities and in our world, that healing is available to all." Ah, there is a balm. Jeremiah asked this rhetorical question, "Is there a balm in Gilead?" Not to insult God, or not to discourage God's people, but to remind us that there is a balm in Gilead. Let's talk about Gilead for a minute. So Gilead is a place. There are names as well in the Bible, but we're going to talk about the place of Gilead. And in Gilead, there were many wars that happened there. There was conquering that happened. There were inhabitants there minding their business, and people came in and conquered the land. Sound familiar? Amen. But in Gilead, the primary thing that Gilead is known for is its healing agent. Even in the midst of war, even in the midst of strife, as a matter of fact, Gilead itself means like a rocky plain, a mountainous region. So it's not flat, it's not simple, and just it's beautiful, but it definitely comes with some rough terrain. So even the place itself is reminding us that even in the midst of the wars and the confusion and the challenges and the rough terrain, there is healing in the midst of it all. Gilead, Gilead, Gilead. What happens when all of these different dynamics are happening in Gilead? The prophet Jeremiah is reminding us, there is a balm in the midst of it all. So today, beloved, today we are being charged with seeing the balm in Gilead, availing ourselves to the balm in Gilead, and being the balm in Gilead. If we juxtapose what Jeremiah is saying to what we are experiencing now, yes, the question still remains, is there no balm in Gilead? Further questions include, are we not to speak truth to power? Are we not supposed to search for truth and meaning right in the midst of these trying times? Are we not supposed to embody inclusive love and love beyond hate, the hate in this world, the systemic racism, sexism, and classism? Are we not supposed to heal our own sin-sick souls as we are a healing agent for others? Do we not have a responsibility, beloved, to stop the killing of our Black brothers and sisters at the hands of systemic racism and law enforcement? Do we not live out the command to love our neighbor as ourselves, and our neighbor includes our white neighbor, our Black neighbor, our indigenous neighbor, our economically challenged neighbor, our economically advantaged neighbor, our gay neighbor, our straight neighbor, and everything and anything in between? In the midst of Gilead, in the midst of the United States, in the midst of Colorado, in the midst of a life of activism and fighting for racial justice and community and faith and love and justice for all, in the midst of being sick in our own bodies and families, family challenges and hurt and pain and disappointment, there is a healing power available to us.
Amen.
Beloved, the balm in Gilead is the power to heal this broken society. And that power is not only available to us, but beloved, know that it is available in us. The balm in Gilead is the love that heals, the hope that encourages, the faith that strengthens, the justice that liberates, the dignity that inspires, the truth that sets us free. The balm in Gilead is the peace in the midst of the storm, the love in the midst of hate, the hope in the midst of despair, the courage in the midst of discouragement, the strength in the midst of weakness, and the unity in the midst of division. You've got to know that you know that you know that in the midst of this crazy political system, that you have the power to heal and speak truth to power and transform this land, because it's more of you than them. One of my favorite songs by Richard Smallwood, and we heard Tad in the Black church, they say, "I almost went in when you played the prelude. I just almost went in." Before the service even officially, I almost went in, because it was just divine and anointed. When we talk about a balm in Gilead, the song by Richard Smallwood builds on this traditional song, the balm in Gilead, and the words say, "Don't be discouraged. Joy comes in the morning. Know that God is nigh. Stand still and look up. Know that God is going to show up. God is standing by. There's healing for your sorrow. There's healing for your pain. There's healing for your spirit. There's shelter from the rain. Lord, send your healing. For this we know, there is a balm in Gilead to heal the soul." Beloved, I leave these words with you today. For the late Michael Jackson said it best in his song, "Heal the World." Heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Michael Brown, Tyree King, Terrence Crutcher, Keith Lamont Scott. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make it a better place for you, for me, for my 21-year-old son, my 7-year-old grandson. Ha! Is there no balm in Gilead? Yeah. And it starts with you. Namaste.